Well, our title of our lesson today is Occupation Stewardship. And the key verse is 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we're talking about value systems today. What do we mean by a value system?
What you value, what is most important in your life.
What do you put first?
Okay. What kind of value system should a Christian have?
God Christ first.
Okay. How does that translate into our daily life?
That we take up our crosses and follow Christ.
And putting others before ourselves.
And denying our sinfulness.
For me, it's remembering that we were created to worship God. We weren't created to work or to be parents or to watch football.
Oh, that's right.
She was looking at me. Yes.
That's right. But more practically in our day-to-day life, what about our value systems?
How we use our money.
Right. How do we use our money? You know. Sure.
How we treat other people too.
Mm-hmm.
How we spend our time.
Where your heart is.
What kind of where our hearts is. What kind of ethical standards do we have? What kind of character do you have? What's your character based on?
Yeah, do our daily actions show others that we're Christians?
Sure.
Why not?
Right. And. Our lesson says basically we've got two worlds. Now, before I prepared for this lesson, I realized that, and we've talked about it before in 1 John, talked about light and darkness. And the verses following John 3:16 talks about light and darkness. But I didn't realize how much the Bible talked about light and darkness until preparing for this lesson. It's all through the lesson. And our first verse here is Colossians 1. 12 to 13, giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet, another word for meet is made us eligible, which made us eligible to be partakers of inheritance of the saints of in light, who deliver us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So it talks about two kingdoms there, kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness. And I put the fourfold state here on the board again. These kind of tables help me to sort of picture in my mind things that the Bible's trying to tell us. In this case, we've got the pre-fall state where we're able to sin, able not to sin. And, of course, Adam and Eve fell to Satan's temptation to sin. So they're in their fallen state now. We're all in this... We're brought into the world in this fallen state, able to sin and unable not to sin until we are born again. And then when we're born again, we basically go back to the state of man in a pre-fall state where we're able to sin and able not to sin. So what we're talking about here, my picture is we're either in a fallen state or a reborn state. We're either citizens of the kingdom of darkness or citizens of kingdom of light. And so these kind of things here help me to sort of picture where I'm at in the kingdoms. And then when we, I guess, when we get in our glorified state, we become, I guess you'd say, full-fledged members of that kingdom where we're unable to sin and able not to sin. And several of the symbolic descriptions in Revelation talks about things like the crystal sea, where the sea is symbolic of sin throughout the Bible. But crystal sea, you can't sink into sin in heaven. And the two kingdoms is talking about in our lesson here. The first one we're going to look at is the world of darkness. First scripture we have is Ephesians 6:11-12. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. And recently we, pastor had a series talking about spiritual warfare, where we're in constant battle, whether we realize it or not, as Christians. And those that are living in darkness, they don't see that.
No, they don't.
Even, I can't get it out of my head, the bad situation that we are with our government now, with economics and stuff like that. It just seems like all our politicians don't have a clue how to fix it. And it's just like they're all blind to what reality is. That they want to keep doing the same thing, hoping for a different outcome, you know.
Slapping band-aids on it.
Right, right. Where they don't want to do the difficult things to make things better in the long term. But, yeah, we're battling things in the spiritual world as Christians. Next verse is 1 John 2:11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. When we are blind, spiritually blind, we don't want to know the truth. You know, probably all of us have tried to talk to somebody about coming to church or the gospel, whatever. Don't want anything to do with it. Don't see any need for it. They're doing just fine. Leave me alone. You know, you can go do your Christian thing. I don't even want to hear about it. And we run across people like that all the time. And they're just totally blind. They don't have any kind of open-mindedness at all to see if there's some other different way for life to go than the way they're going. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now that's not telling us not to try to minister those that are lost, but as Christians, we can't be buddy-buddy with somebody who is lost. I mean, we can try to minister to them and bring them into the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we can't go out drinking with them and get drunk every night at the topless bars and stuff like it. We can't have that kind of fellowship with somebody that's lost.
It's one of our concerns about Caleb, because the guy that he had gone on vacation with before Lee is the same guy that they both got caught, and now he and this guy are going to go, once they get kicked out of the military, and work with this guy's somebody in welding and all that. And we're just like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not good.
Yeah. We just can't do that as Christians. We can't have that kind of fellowship. But that don't mean we're not called to try to minister those that are lost, though. Okay, and next one is from Jesus' prayer, John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from evil. We're still living in a fallen world, and even though we're living in a fallen world, we're not citizens of that fallen world. We're aliens here. And we should appear to other people as if we are aliens. You know, somebody come from a foreign country, the United States, don't make any difference how long some people have been here. They still can't get that English accent. You know they're not from here. And those are the kind of things that we should appear to people who are in the kingdom of darkness. We should appear as if we're aliens. We don't speak the same language. We don't act the same way. We don't wear the same clothes. We look strange to them. And that's the way we should be as Christians. We should be aliens. But on the other hand, Paul said he tried to be everything to all people for the purpose of bringing them into the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we shouldn't be so much of an alien that affects our ministry.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm from West Texas, and you could tell of the Hispanic people around. You could tell who was born and raised in America and who came over just by, I guess, how they live.
Mm-hmm.
If they are not from this country, they have several families living together in one home. They work really hard. They work long hours. But they're always poor because they send their money back home. Mm-hmm. Where the ones that are from here act American. They don't have any money in savings. You know what I mean? They just...
Agreed.
So that kind of makes me think... that kind of makes me think... You can't tell one from the other when they're standing beside each other. But their actions and their priorities, you can tell who is of this world and who is not.
But as Christians, we shouldn't be assimilated into the kingdom of darkness.
Right.
We should be continue to be alien citizens of a different kingdom. Next scripture is 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 16. And we've all heard this and often, I believe. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We have a choice to obey God or not obey God. And this scripture is often used to, I guess you'd say, counsel people that's going to get married, but it's more than just getting married.
Yeah, it's your business.
It's everything.
Your relationship, period.
Everything.
It's your relationship with the world.
We cannot be in a contractual kind of agreement with somebody that's of a different kingdom, kingdom of darkness. It just don't work. Oftentimes, you feel sorry for people who enter into marriage, knowing us as outsiders can see it's most likely not going to work because they're so much different. One person may be a strong Christian, another person a worldly person. And a Christian thinks they're going to change the worldly person. Maybe they can, but it's not a good likelihood sometimes. It's not a good situation to enter into from the beginning. Okay, that's world of darkness, world of light. 1 John 1:5-6. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's difficult to see some people who've been in leadership positions in a church and be found out for their true character. Especially high profile people that's made an impact, we believe made an impact for God in the world. And then something is revealed in their character that shows they're not really the person that they projected themselves to be.
Hurts the whole church.
Yeah, it hurts everybody. It hurts everybody. And at least with our Heavenly Father, with God, we don't have those kind of worries. We know that there's no darkness, no evil at all in God. And everything that God has planned for us, even though at the time it seemed like it hurts or whatever, that's for our good. John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended not.
But that doesn't keep us, that verse shouldn't keep us from continuing to share the good news.
Sure. We don't know.
With a loving attitude, too. Like you said, we don't want to be such an alien that we alienate.
And we don't know how the Holy Spirit is working in somebody's life. And things that we say and do to try to minister to somebody, in our opinion, we may think that we're failures, but God may be using it too as some kind of building block to eventually to reach them and draw them closer to Him. We don't know. So we have to continue in our outreach to those that are lost, even if we get no response.
Well, and in our outreach, we also need to remember that we were brought out of darkness.
Sure. Sure.
And you know, you were talking about church leadership and all that. You know, we ought to pray for each other, but you know, they need prayers. You know, the pastors and all that, because they minister to everybody. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess they have people, others that minister to them as well, but they do need, you know, prayers
from them. Because that's who
Satan
would like to see.
Exactly.
Sure.
They're constantly
sure.
bombarded with all of this, so.
Okay, John 12:46. Oh, 8:12. Then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yeah, believers should be attracted to the light. Just like, you know, if you want to catch a fly in your house, this is the way I figured out the way you catch a fly. Turn out all the lights.
Except
one in the bathroom, which are a little room or a closet or something like that, and let the fly go in there because he follows the light, and then you shut the door and you get him.
It's true. It works.
It works. It works.
So we'll
run
that way too.
And take out a splash water.
But Christians, yeah, Christians should be following the light, just like that fly, follow where the light is. And what bothers me is people who say they're Christians, members of church, whatever, and seems like those kind of spiritual things just don't have a part of them. For them. Come to church once a month, maybe never go to Sunday school or Sunday school a couple, three times a year or something like that.
They're not just, following their life. Yeah,
I'm just having some kind of suspect feelings about their commitment to Christianity and if they're really born again, really saved. I can't help but think that way, you know.
Because you have such a thirst for the Word and for worship of God that
I realize people are different levels of maturity and have different levels of thirst and stuff like that. But sometimes you wonder if they're maybe pretending or if they're really saved. And if you are saved and you love Christ, how come you not want to be at church at least very often, you know? I don't understand that.
But then again, you have to think there might be something in that church that keeps them from.
There's a bunch of churches though.
They should be able to find a church that fits them.
there's apostate churches out there.
Because you know, sometimes in church, you know, they're going to cost you more stress.
Find another church. I mean, we are so blessed with there's so many churches here in town. I mean, you look in the papers, hundreds and hundreds of them. Everybody can find a church they don't fit in. Even the apostates can find apostate church they fit in.
Yeah. But, you know, if you focus on God when you're in church, you're not going to be stressed.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of church, is to focus on God.
Mm-hmm. To worship.
Yeah.
To worship.
You know, for those people who do come and play church and talk it, you know, you'd rather them, this is obvious, but you'd rather them not say anything at all. And we're dealing with that with a couple of family members that, you know, Facebook, you know, one of their kids does something and it's like, you know, they went to church and it's like they're glorified. But a couple of their same kids on their Facebook religious views, Christianity, likes some terrible music and partying and putting on their wall, partying, getting drunk and this and that. But on their religious
views, Christianity. Take it off of there for crying out loud. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That hurts me in
no end. Mm-hmm.
You know,
live.
You're
going to
live this kind of life and just live it fully, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're talking about stewardship. Not only is it stewardship of money, but stewardship of our life, too. How we live our life. It's a gift from God, and we're supposed to be good stewards of our life also.
Yeah, and Chrissy said we should pray for our leaders, And this is a good prayer for our leaders right here in Ephesians 6, that they stand against the wiles of the devil, they stand against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Mm-hmm.
But our politicians are selling out their soul for money. Bad Purdue. Oh. Governor Joker.
We can throw out a lot of names. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me shall not abide in darkness. Once we are children of the light, we can't go back. And last one, my favorite one, the one we got on our Bible verse. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
To a degree, I think we don't pump ourselves up enough as Christians, that we are expected to be a priest, a royal priest, and we're part of the royal priesthood. And to a degree, I think we sort of neglect those kind of thoughts, that we are part of something special, and God is intends to use us for something special. We'll carry out His will and kingdom in this world. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are all the children of light, the children of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. And in Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light.
Yeah.
Armor of light. Some scholars think that in the Garden of Eden, that when Adam and Eve became aware of their nakedness, that before they sinned and became aware of their nakedness, that they were clothed in something like the Shekinah glory of God. That was their covering. But then when they sinned, that Shekinah glory left them, and they became aware that they were no longer covered by that glory of God, and they were naked. And that's when they tried to do the best they could to cover themselves with fig leaves. Now, that's not in the Bible, but that's some thoughts of scholars when they're studying the Genesis account of Adam and Eve. And we see in the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel got to a certain point, that they were so sinful before God that God's Shekinah glory even left the temple. Mm-hmm. So that kind of...
That's a neat view about Adam and Eve. And I heard that story, you know, I think you're three, and I never understood why is it so bad to be naked? You know, I didn't understand why, if they were naked the whole time, why were they all of a sudden ashamed of it?
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Calvin just kind of gave a pretty good rendition at that, is that they were covered.
Yeah, that's right.
Their nakedness was covered in the glory of God, as far as they were concerned, and as you're saying, and I'm in part maybe also, they weren't aware that they were naked.
Right.
And that nakedness or the glory of God was all they needed. And then she ate the apple. Here's the other thing. He says that you gave her to me.
Lack of male leadership there. But armor of light, that's in my mind when I read armor of light, that's sort of what I envision it us putting on again, God's kind of glory. That the glory of God surround us to protect us.
And then if we don't
obey
him, then that disappears, you know, mm-hmm. on our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes me think of, like, Brian showed a praise earlier that, you know, we're all through this new Ramsey thing and trying to get, you know, things lined up, and then we get slammed with this one bill that came out of nowhere. And I got to tell you, I felt defeated because I'm like, we're doing this, 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 and then this comes. And I thought, you know what? And then he came in from work and we were talking. And I'm like, it kind of just went away. I'm like, you know what? This doesn't mean anything. This little bit doesn't mean anything in the long term of things, you know? So then I, you know, it just reminds me of this, pulling their arm, like, you know, that verse. Because, yeah, I mean,
deflected.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Thank God for that.
Okay, our next topic here, looking at building values. God's Word provides all we need to make the right kind of choices. We just need to know what God's Word says. And lots of us don't spend enough time in God's Word, and we're lacking in knowing what God is trying to speak to us all through His Word. Got several verses here from Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, elders obtained a good report. Now, that's verses 1 and 2. And then after verses 1 and 2, it talks about our fathers of the faith. It talks about Abel. It talks about Enoch. It talks about Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And then our lesson goes all the way down to Moses, verses 23 to 27. By faith, and all these before are saying by faith for each one of them. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then there's 4 points that we're looking at here. A foundation of faith, and we're going backwards in the verses here. That's just the way the lesson laid it out. A foundation of faith in verse 27.
Well, the value is the value of faith, is the first value. We need to have faith in Christ. We need to have faith in God that He's going to provide.
On our foundations of faith, verse 27, Moses understood that God was at work in his life and in the world. When Moses was born, he wasn't the firstborn. He was at least the thirdborn. And he had an older brother and sister, and of course, mother and father. And it doesn't tell us in Scripture explicitly, but when Moses was found in the basket in the water by the Pharaoh's daughter, she didn't have a son. And she needed a nursemaid for him to feed him because he was an infant. And if you remember the story, Miriam was there, and she says, I know somebody, and it was his biological mother. So in my mind, I'm thinking Moses' mother raised him under the pretense of being the nursemaid for him, and she had the opportunity to teach him who he was when he was growing up. Even though he's going to be in Pharaoh's court, he, in his formative years, his parents were able to tell him who he was. Not only that, he has a brother and sister there that later on he establishes a close relationship with, but probably played a part in that also. So we as parents have just a short period of time to be able to reach our kids, and sometimes through no fault of the parents, the kids just can't be reached for whatever reason, you know, or we think we can't reach them. But we have a short period of time as parents that we have a responsibility to try to make that imprint of the necessary faith that they need to have to carry them throughout their life.
Well, yeah. Here's a plug for the movie Courageous, if you have not seen it, about parental-child relationships and walking in darkness and light. If you have not seen that movie, spend the $6 to $8.
Take somebody.
Take somebody. Very well done. Yeah. Extremely well done. Okay. You will cry. You will cry. It will challenge your heart.
Yeah. If I may just comment on that, I haven't seen the movie, but I listened to the local Christian channel radio, and they were saying that that movie was shown, and I know I don't have the figures accurate, but something like 1,800 movie theaters in the nation. But it came in number 3 in revenue.
Even though it's in such small amount.
In just a minuscule number of theaters, it took number 3 in revenue nationwide. I mean, that's a testimony of how well-received it is. And nobody's advertising it. Nobody except Christian Channel, Green Churches and so on. And word of mouth. It's phenomenal.
It goes with your lesson thing. It really does the basic content of the movie. Mm-hmm. About walking in darkness, walking in the light. Mm-hmm. Parental responsibility.
I have to get to see it then. I rarely go to a movie.
Take your son. Okay. I wanted to have a lot of young people. Hmm?
And
they're the one
in
Hope
Hills.
Go to Mills Temple.
That's a nice theater. Yeah, that's a nice theater. Yeah. It's not very far away either. Mm-hmm. And it's clean.
Yeah.
Okay, the next point is values based on faith, verse 26. I put the New English Translation there because the King James is pretty hard to decipher. He regarded abuse suffered for Christ to be greater wealth and treasures of Egypt, for his eyes were fixed on the reward. Now,
really?
We know in Moses' time there was no Christ at that time. We know that. But on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus was giving his Bible study lesson, he is saying the whole book of the Bible at that time, the Old Testament, was written of him. So everything in the Old Testament is looking forward to the Messiah, to the Christ. And even Abraham has said he is righteous by faith.
They're looking towards the Messiah.
Right. But there's that sense of relationship, hope, redemption that is played out in the Old Testament that even though they don't realize who the Messiah is going to be or anything.
But they're looking to
They're
the
looking
Messiah
forward to that, yes.
Yeah.
Even Eve and her firstborn, Cain, she was looking towards that Redeemer. Yeah, that expectancy that they're looking towards. And that is worth more to them than the worldly treasures. Okay, choices based on values in verse 25. Let's see, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That is some of the biggest temptations they are. Wide range of temptations, whether it's get rich quick schemes or sexual temptations or selfish kind of desires. We oftentimes tend to want to go that route instead of looking at the consequences. Most people, when they've made the wrong choice, if you ask them if they could have a redo, they'd say, I wouldn't do that again.
Right.
But given the same circumstances, a lot of them would do that again. but we have to have the foreknowledge based on the Word of God to know that there's consequences to our choices. And I try to drill that into my son now. You know, everything you do has some kind of consequence, either positive or negative. But everything you do, whether you study for a test or not, everything you do has some positive or negative consequences to it. So you have to constantly be aware of as a Christian, of our choices that we make.
My daughters had written on the playground with a Sharpie, and among other punishments, they had to go out there with a scrub brush and some comment and try to scrub it off. Mm-hmm. It would not come off. And the 10-year-old was crying, it won't come off, it won't come off. I said, and it just turned into a lesson that no matter what you do, it's out there. You can't take it back. You can't scrub it away, and sometimes you can't scrub it away.
Well, even, yeah, oftentimes in our lives, I know in my life, I have done things in the past I'm not proud of. And I feel like as a child of God, I've been forgiven for them, mm-hmm. but it's still there.
Yeah.
It's still there.
It had an effect on somebody somehow.
Yeah, yeah. It had an effect on me.
But it still had an effect on all of us because we visited, and it's a doorpost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it again.
Okay, and then verses 1 and 2, talking about the character-based choices. And verse, like I said, verse 1 and 2, after verse 1 and 2, it had a whole list of our biblical forefathers and choices that they've made and the consequences of their the choices that they made. And each one of them said, by faith, each one of them did so and so. And that's what we need to live by faith. Yeah. I mean, that's our
loving faith.
As children of God, we have to have that saving faith. That'll draw us closer to God.
Amen.
And that will play out in our character traits, our ethical traits that we display to others. Okay, we don't have time for the third part here. It's a parable of the talents. And I think we're all probably familiar with the parable of the talents. But basically it's looking at three principles, principle of ownership, responsibility, and accountability. And ownership, we just have to remember that everything we have, even our breath that we draw, is by the grace of God. Every material possession that we have, it's not really ours. We're stewards of it. And to the best of our ability, we need to be manage that to the glory of God, to where all our actions will be pleasing in His sight, the way we manage our material possessions, being responsible. And we have to remember that we're ultimately accountable to God for everything that we do. I mean, as humans, we can't control necessarily the thoughts that come into our minds sometimes, but we don't have to dwell on those kind of thoughts. And one thing that really helps me about some of these thoughts I shouldn't be thinking sometimes is there's a day of accountability. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to answer for everything we've done, every thought we've had, and we don't need to dwell on those thoughts that don't glorify God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for that indwelling of Your Spirit to help us to be the best children of light that we can be. We pray that we'll also let our light so shine that others can see us for what You would have us be as Your children. As we go in Your sanctuary now, Lord, we pray that You'll be with Pastor Josh as he delivers the message, and pray that all our words and deeds and songs of praise will be pleasing in Your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.